Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
I'm he's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got David Adler back on the show. David was the producer of the PBS Nova documentary on behavioral finance. He's a contributor to Financial Planning Magazine. He is the co-author of Understanding American Economic Decline. That's a kind of a depressing title there. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. But his new book is called Snap Judgment, When to Trust Your Instincts. And he's our friend, David Adler. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be back.
It's good to have you back. This thing, this title, David, that's kind of depressing. Understanding the American Economic Decline.
Well, there should be a question mark after decline.
I mean,
it's not guaranteed at all. And that was kind of an academic book. My new book, Snap Judgment, is much more useful if you're trying to invest.
Right.
That book was more about growth and, you know, just that there are certain problems in the U.S. economy.
When did that book come out?
That book came out in the late 90s.
Right.
What we did not anticipate is what actually...
Wait, so it turned out to be prophetic? Is that what you're saying?
Yes and no. I mean, what we didn't nail and no one saw was the collapse in the shadow banking system.
Yeah.
So we basically, no one quite figured out that what went wrong in the U.S. was the banking system.
But well, that's... See, you said it. You identified a term just now that I think that most Americans have may not have ever heard. And if they heard it, they might not know what it's all about. But folks, we have in America and have had for a long time a shadow banking system. And David Adler is going to explain it to you right now. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Well, it is shadowy, so that's what we might not know. I mean, basically, technically, it means it's not regulated by the Federal Reserve, but rather it's under the auspices of the SEC. It does not take. It's not your local bank where you deposit money.
Right.
It's But it basically, there are New York-based broker-dealers that are involved in, they're basically investment banks.
Mm-hmm.
But what they began playing traditional banking functions in the last decade, namely by providing mortgage credit through
Right. Securitization. They're the people that created the mortgage-backed securities and leveraged them 70-1.
Yes, exactly.
And who can you give it? Can you put a name to some of these?
Sure, Lehman Brothers.
Okay.
Bear Stearns. They're not shadowy. They're right in your face.
Right, but the business that they conducted was shadowy.
It was not clearly regulated. And I'll tell you another. I mean, the deeper you get into the shadow banking system, the more layers you'll find.
Right.
For instance, there's something. Here's a term you don't hear on the radio ever: the repo market, which is actually larger than the entire regulated banking system.
The what now?
Repo market.
Repo.
All it was that market. It's actually really boring, but it fell apart. It's mutual funds when they had their cash each night.
Mm-hmm.
They had too much cash on hand to deposit it in a bank. So what they would do is they would deposit it in one of these investment banks.
Right.
And then in return, they would get mortgage-backed securities as collateral to insure their deposit.
Right.
And the size of the repo market, which no one knew, it's unclear how big it is, was larger, definitely larger than the traditional banking.
But in September of 2008, that got out of hand, didn't it?
Well, that's actually what brought down Lehman Brothers. It's giant mutual funds and places like that no longer trusted the collateral they were getting.
So, folks, here's what you got now. You got a mutual fund that gave Lehman Brothers cash, for example. Right, David?
Exactly.
And then Lehman Brothers, they had to have some collateral for that cash. So Lehman Brothers gave them
mortgage-backed
securities that were based on mortgages that are now failing.
Yes.
And people started saying, wait a minute, this emperor doesn't have any clothes.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. So they took their cash back and would no longer give
them
money.
didn't roll the cash over.
No.
And so that was a form of a run on a shadow bank.
Exactly. Precisely. You know your stuff. And that is ultimately what brought down Lehman Brothers. They just couldn't get any short-term
and so, cash. And so, folks, think about this. If you've seen It's a Wonderful Life, and you know about the run on the Bailey's Building and Loan, and this is what happened. This didn't happen on Main Street. This happened on Wall Street, sort of in the shadows up there of these transactions that most Americans don't even know about. And this basically was about to collapse our financial system.
Right. And at that point, that's when the Fed stepped in.
Yeah.
And began.
I mean, literally, people were sitting around not really paying it too much, you know, thinking everything's kind of okay. And all of a sudden, somebody picked up the phone and said, hey, we got a problem. We're not rolling over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Dave. We'll come right back. Folks, you need to know about this because this is the stuff. When you heard me say over the last 3 to 5 years, Wall Street is working at cross purposes with Main Street, this is what I was talking about. I didn't always know exactly what was happening, but I knew there was something going on, and this is what Dave was talking about. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Having a great visit with our good friend David Adler, the author of Snap Judgment, When to Trust Your Instincts, When to Ignore Them, and How to Avoid Making Big Mistakes with Your Money. That's what David does every day. He's a small business owner just like you and me, writes about these things and talks about these things and about helping you and me make good financial decisions in our businesses and in our own personal financial matters. And David, you were telling us about, we were just talking about the shadow banking system that's under the radar for most people. It's only somewhat regulated, right?
Correct, or by the SEC, lightly.
By the SEC, but we already know that that's no great regulatory organization.
No.
But even though the Fed knew about these guys, about what they do, the Treasury Department knows what they do, et cetera, they didn't even know those guys, Bernanke and the other guys, they didn't even know that the shadowy banking system had gotten to the stage it had gotten into.
Yeah, the Fed didn't fully know everything. For instance, in M3, which is a tracking the money supply,
right.
The Fed used to track the repo market, the market I just described,
right.
Your market that's huger than the regular banking system, but the Fed stopped tracking it.
Huh.
So I would say the Fed knows.
Why did they? You know why they stopped tracking it?
I don't know, but in general, I would say the Fed did not have was not 100% on top of the shadow banking system.
Yeah,
they didn't regulate it. But not only just the Fed. When you said, "Well, you knew there was something going on, but you didn't know everything," the economists you hear on TV, they didn't know anything either because they were still studying
right.
the stock market.
Oh no, that's exactly right. And you had politicians a month before Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac collapsed saying that you know they were in good shape, they're solvent and. And, you got on one weekend in September, Lehman Brothers, deciding what to do with Lehman Brothers and AIG. And while one of the guys who was with Merrill Lynch was helping to put that deal together, David, he started looking around. And he said, wait a minute. We've got some skin in that game. That'll be me next week.
Yes.
And then one morning, Ken Lewis with Bank of America wakes up. He's having breakfast with his wife. Basically, the phone rings, and somebody says, you got to come to New York. You got to buy Merrill Lynch.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. And this is all because of this collapse, this run on the shadow banking system that
true.
Got created. Tell us how it got created and how it got out of hand.
Everyone knew there was a housing bubble. Like a lot of people thought, housing seems a little high here. But what people didn't think through is what that meant in terms of Wall Street. That Wall Street was profiting very well.
But they weren't profiting on the housing bubble. They were profiting on the mortgage bubble.
Correct.
Isn't it more accurate to say mortgage bubble?
Yeah, that's precisely accurate. Their profit was creating mortgage-backed securities. And one argument, by the way, is that the housing bubble was driven by not just individual mortgage brokers, but by the shadow banks, that they just wanted more and more mortgages.
Well, and the Fed is complicit in this, too, because they kept pumping liquidity into the economy.
They did, but they didn't fully understand the side of it.
You know, Steve Forbes, on my show, probably several times over a period of 2 or 3 years, I'm going to say from 01 to all the way through maybe to for five or six years, on this show, Steve Forbes said the Fed is pumping too much liquidity into the economy, and that's what he said they were doing is what created a lot of this problem.
Well, he was correct.
Yes.
But the thing is, they weren't evil. They might just not have figured out what was going on with
the mortgage. So if it wasn't evil, it was incompetence, basically.
Yeah, I think that's often the case.
Yeah.
But not always, because sometimes let's not forget, Citibank, the head of Citibank, Prince, said, he knew there were problems looming. And remember his famous quote, as long as the music's still playing, we've got to get up and dance.
Right.
But then he did say, when the music stops, there's going to be a liquidity crisis.
Yeah.
So people very deep inside knew the whole system.
So here's the question, David. Has anything been learned? And what has been learned, is the reaction to it going to be an overreaction?
I would say, I would put it the other way. I put it another way, which is, has anything been done?
So you're saying that we still have the same exposure?
Well, no, the system collapsed, so it's not about to explode again. It sort of fell
apart.
But
could it recreate itself?
Well, ironically, we need some sort of shadow banking system to provide credit for the economy, given how important it was. The issue is, should it be re-regulated in a better way? And that's where I don't see anything from this administration to re-regulate it.
Right.
And even Paul Volcker, who's an old Wall Street hand, you would think, well, he'll solve the problem. Because he's such an old Wall Street hand, he's focused on the traditional banking system and not on this strange shadow banking system.
And your point that you're making today is that they're regulating and re-regulating the wrong banking industry.
Yeah, there's not been a big push to fix the problems of the shadow banking system.
Well,
and I don't think that's ignorance. I think it's because there's still a lot of money left in that system, and no one in that system wants it re-regulated.
Ah. So you think these are lobbying powers that are doing this?
Yeah. I think they're lobbying powers. It's sort of behind the scenes, and it's all very shadowy. But also, people are confused. No one knows what to do exactly, but there doesn't. As you said, Main Street and Wall Street interests diverge.
That's right.
So there's just not a big push, especially because it's behind the scenes. No one seems to want to re-regulate it.
And the problem we've got is, I don't think we've got that enough smart people in Washington, D.C., to actually focus on. I'm not sure they've got the intelligence to actually deal with this. I'm serious. I mean that, and I would say that to their face. I mean that, folks, bluntly. I'm saying it straight out. Washington is not smart enough to deal with this. I'll be right back. 10 till. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We're visiting with our good friend David Adler. David is the author of Snap Judgment, outstanding new book, a very important book about when to trust your instincts and when to ignore them. And I'd like, David, for you to tell us where we can find your book and how we can find you online.
Sure. You can find my book at Amazon bookstores, or I have a website called SnapJudgmentBook.com.
All right, SnapJudgmentBook.com. Check it out when you get a chance, folks, and I promise you, you will not regret checking out his book and buying it. David, thank you so much for what you've done today, for bringing us this information about the shadow banking system. Now, one of the interesting things about this is, up to now, you and I've kind of made the shadow banking system sound like this evil empire, but the truth is, it's been a very helpful, it's like fear and greed. You need both of those. You need the shadow banking system, because that's been the fuel that has funded a lot of the growth of our economy. And if we're going to get our economy going again, one of the reasons why the economy is still kind of lagging is because the shadow banking system has been a little sick, isn't it?
Yeah, basically the shadow banking system provided about as much credit, if not more, than the traditional banking system.
Right.
So rather than going to your traditional bank, even the traditional bank you'd get a loan from relied upon the shadow banking system to sort of offload the loan. Now that the shadow banking system's gone, the whole economy is credit starved.
Right.
So since the shadow bank's balance sheets are sort of collapsed, what it means is the U.S. is really tight for credit. So outside of the huge, huge large businesses that, you know, have their own treasury and can issue stock, et cetera, everyone else is short of credit.
So is it going to require the shadow banking system to become healthy again
before
the credit actually opens up again in the country?
Well, I mean, we could build a new banking system maybe someday, but in the short run, yeah, we will need horrible.
The president jawbones banks, basically he's just flapping his gums because they're not the problem.
That's kind of what I was trying to say before. He needs to actually fix and revive the banking system rather than just pressuring banks
but
to lend.
Do you think that that the administration and Congress is not doing something about this because of the lobbying forces behind it, or because
I think we won't understand it if they explain it to us? I think he doesn't see any votes in it.
Yeah,
it's easy to attack banks. He can get votes for that, but he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah,
no one really likes banks. But to fix the shadow banking system requires hard
work. Well, why aren't more people talking about you and I are talking about right now?
It's shadowy. It's obscure.
Nobody likes to talk. It's the unseemly thing, right?
Yeah, it's unseemly.
You know, it's not cool at a tea party, is it?
No. It's not. It requires hard work. It's sensible, and there's no easy win, but it needs to be fixed.
Well, let me tell you something. Main Street small businesses are smart enough to understand what you and I are talking about. It's not hard for us to understand how, you know, mutual funds have lots of cash. They give it to this organization, to these banks up there, like Lehman, like Bear Stearns and some of those companies, Citi. They give it to those companies. They get collateral. The collateral is no good. The thing collapses. That's not hard to understand. That's math.
Right.
That's basic. I mean, so you know, explain this to us. Let us know what's going on. Tell us. Somebody should have been in the administration. Should have already been going over this. The president should have already. President Bush should have talked about this.
Well, again, when it was working smoothly, no one had much to say. But now that it's broken, no one can get financing. No one can get credit. And so, to me, that's why the economy is still not growing.
But David, every day, every week, some new politician comes out or some politician comes back out and says, we can't get credit. Small businesses can't get credit. We've got to get the credit going again. Well, why are they saying that?
They can't think it through to the fix, or maybe it's politically unpalatable.
Now we come back to what I said earlier about they're not smart enough.
Yeah, that might be it. They might just be smart
enough. And I know, folks, I know you think I'm being pejorative, you think I'm being disrespectful or whatever. I don't mean that. When I say they're not smart enough, I'm not trying to insult them. I'm making a value judgment, David. I believe what I just said.
Right. You think it's accurate.
Am I wrong?
Well, I don't know all of them, but can I ask you about what you think of Tim Geithner?
Well, I think he's probably a smart guy, but he was the Fed governor, and he didn't pay his taxes. And what's stupider than that is we gave him the job after we knew that.
Yeah, but none of those look like very brilliant decisions.
No, I mean that you got to question that. I don't think he has enough gray hair, frankly.
Well, he might after.
I think he needs. Yeah, right. Yeah, but I didn't want him. I didn't want him on the job training on us.
Yeah, well, he's got the training though. It's a little bit of learning experience.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean to. I'm not picking on Geithner necessarily, but I mean there's a lot of. Hey, David, give us the website one more time.
SnapJudgmentBook.com.
You did a great job today helping us to understand what really happened up there. It makes me feel better, and I bet it makes a lot of small business owners feel better, too. But maybe a little more frightened, too. Hey, thanks, David, for being here. Good job today.
Thanks.
We'll see you next time. David Adler, ladies and gentlemen. Snap Judgment, that's the book. Check it out. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.